Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialist, Phil, John, and McKenna are back with another episode of Somebody's Defining Episode. And today we are talking about Kyle from Survivor 48. If you haven't checked out our Jenna Lewis episode, make sure you go check that one out. But today we're talking about Kyle. We're going to the complete opposite end. We are going to the season 48 winner. And we're going to be talking about Icarus Time, which is episode 12 of season 48, also known as the Shaheen Boot. And this happened right before the finale and probably is the moment that set up Kyle's win. So let's dive in. I've already recapped this episode. I've had conversations with people about it. I had to do digging deeper. You guys did rewind on this. So 48 is going to be a little bit different than when we're talking about these older seasons for sure, because the older seasons, I feel like we're watching them almost as a one-off. Whereas this is like, we just watched this less than a month ago, and here we are.
But now we're here to spotlight Kyle specifically in this episode and not need to talk about, you know, everything else that went down, which is nice to just focus on him, his move, and how he navigates the game here and trying to pull off his getting out of his big bad, where spoiler alert, he was thinking about for Camilla's episode that we are going to be doing a little bit later on. So he's been waiting and waiting, and now it's finally time.
This is kind of the episode where going into the finale, there was still a lot of discussion in the community about who was going to win this season before this penultimate episode premiered. And this was the moment where it became pretty clear to Phil, at least. Phil was very adamant Kyle was winning after this episode. And a lot of it comes down to the way that Kyle's portrayed in this episode. There are so many little moments with Kyle here. Yes, there's a big, like, lots of talk about his decision to, like, turn on Shaheen here. But it opens with Camilla kind of critiquing Kyle because of the cold war between Kyle and Shaheen. And that is what's so fascinating about the framing of this episode, is this is Kyle shot first.
And I think, like, as we go through this series, and, you know, again, we're still introing the series because the Jenna episode is so different. But one of the main things we're trying to figure out with this is, like, this defines their legacy, right? Like, this really defines who they are as a Survivor player. If you only watch one episode of these players, how do you get the full taste before you just turn on Survivor 50? And I think this is the episode, because especially watching this now in hindsight, knowing that Joe doesn't win and that Joe wasn't a threat to beat Kyle at the end, really, and that Kyle was making the right decisions. At the time, everybody's screaming at the TV, get rid of Joe, get rid of Eva, you're going to lose. This is so obvious, blah, blah, blah. But now when you watch it, you realize he had total control. And what is he so good at? Taking the information that everybody gives him and using it against them. Shaheen says, we need to make a move. Shaheen takes Kyle on a reward and says, we should get Eva out. And Kyle says, great, now I have the reason to get Shaheen out and I can go pitch this to Joe and Eva. And the way he manipulates everybody and the way that he talks about everything and the way that he tells Camilla, this is what I'm going to do, and then actually executes it because he has such an understanding of Joe's personality, Joe's dynamic with Shaheen, which Joe revealed in his exit interview with me. He said that, you know, him and Shaheen were fighting that day, which is also why nothing came out. But Kyle knows how to read a room maybe better than anybody who's going to be on the Survivor 50 cast. And he understands what he can get away with each player. And that is on full display in this episode with all five of the other people who are still in the game.
And I think it really shows Kyle's patience because a lot of Survivor players do not have patience. You take something like War Dog getting Wentworth out. Yes, you need to get Kelly Wentworth out of the game. But when he did it, was that the right moment? No, because then you go out right after her. So it's like it really showed him and his dedication to, all right, I need to use this alliance. I need to use it. We got to keep trucking through now. Now is the time. And his timing and just awareness is really, really sharp.
I'm really glad you bring up his patience because I think that is kind of Kyle's biggest strength. And in exit press, we see Camilla saying that she wanted to cause rocks and cause chaos throughout the entire post-merge. She just wanted something to happen. But Kyle's really the one who's placating her and like keeping her away from making that chaos because it is better for the two of theirs game. And I think it is something that's really underrated about Kyle, but really comes to focus in this episode. We see them as a pair, and we do have confirmation now with Exit Press that the depth of their alliance was really like straightly strategic, and they didn't really go off together alone talking all that much, which quite frankly is probably scarier for the cast of 50 if they got the chance to hear that before they went out. Because that means that they can make an alliance without you even knowing it. And Kyle is capable of it. And it's one of the biggest things in Survivor's history that's always confounded me is why haven't people been able to do this? Create a strategic alliance that you can just meet up and say the important things and trust enough to go for it and take you to the end of the game. We're 48 seasons in. We finally have it. It's terrifying. And it's what makes Kyle such a strong candidate to be the winner that goes further in this game, because I think he will be misjudged going up against the other winner in D. And this episode just shows that manipulation. He takes a really risky play when it comes to the information he's giving Joe here. We see his evaluation of the situation when Joe wins immunity. We needed Joe not to win immunity, because Joe is a little more unhinged when he doesn't have it, and he can get that paranoia in him more. Mm-hmm. The fact that we know from Joe's exit press with you, Phil, that him and Shaheen were at odds this day just goes to show how much Kyle can take a moment, seize it, and make it work in his favor.
Yeah, and I also think it shows how well Kyle's brain works, and I can't think of a better way to phrase that, but like, this guy just thinks, I was saying on the podcast, feels like the most convoluted plan. Like, you couldn't come up with something simpler than that. There wasn't an easier way to get that done, but it shows the risks that he's willing to take and how differently he truly is thinking about this game. And I think also there's something very disarming about Kyle, right? Like, when Kyle comes and talks to you, you want to believe him because it feels like everything he's saying is just true. It doesn't feel like he could come up with this lie. He just seems like a good guy. And that seems to be the trap that every single person on his tribe fell into, is that they all just believed him. And the only person he went to was Camilla. So I think what's interesting about this being his defining episode is that it really gets into his strategic chops, his patience, all of that. My thing coming out of this episode, though, and my biggest question for Kyle coming into the season, can he do well without having a number one like Camilla to bounce these kind of harebrained schemes off of, who's also going to be willing to go with them? Because if he goes up to Coach and tries to pitch something like this, Coach is going to look at him and come to the camera and go, I have no idea what that guy just said to me. We need to slay this guy. He's too smart for his own good. I wonder if he can do this without his number one, because so much of this being his defining episode, it's still very much in the hands of Camilla. The success of this being pulled off does come down to Camilla not saying anything and not talking him out of this crazy plan.
I think there are plenty of people on this season that could not replace Camilla, but be his strategic number one. Because if he was able to pull that off and just secretly have a strategic alliance with someone that nobody knew about, how are they going to know about it again? Because if he is only talking strategy with this person and not giving them the intimate stories and things like that that he was giving Joe, Shaheen, Eva, the rest of this alliance, they're not going to know that he is as tight with someone. I think that part of it is replicable, but maybe because he is sharing, because he is, you know, this nice, sweet guy, that people are going to be like, there is something underneath this.
I think the big question for Kyle going into this season is he adaptable? Mm-hmm. And we saw that from his counterpart in Camilla, and we'll talk about that more when it comes to her episode. But is Kyle adaptable? I think he is, because he was able to fold in and out of this like strong alliance and keep great relationships with everyone else in the game as well. But there's also, we should underestimate the life change that's happened to Kyle since he went out and played this, right? And it's shown in this episode, and it's the first time in the entire season it's mentioned. Kyle got married a month after Survivor. Like, he went out there, and sure, okay, maybe it's not that big of a life change, but it is still a life change. He also won $1 million, and that changes your life too. So it'll be interesting to see how he approaches this. And this is another episode where he's going toe-to-toe for the victory in this reward challenge too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he's good at challenges. That's the other thing. Like, he wasn't really able to show it off because of how good Joe was and the fact that Joe won 4 and Camilla won 2. But he is good at challenges, and the life change will play a role. My biggest fear for Kyle is that because this is such a defining moment and because this is such an incredible play, and I talked a lot about that, I really praised this move. How do you trust anything this guy says to you, though, if you're any of the other castaways? If this is the most recent season you watched, you saw this guy pull this move and then go on to win because of this move at the jury. How do you sit there and say, oh, yeah, I'll trust this Kyle guy, I want to play with him? Yeah, you might want to use him as a shield, but even though he hasn't been able to show his physical chops here because Joe overshadowed him and David overshadowed him in the early portion of the game, from a strategic sense, he's like, you could argue he's second to none just because of this move. So how does he overcome that? Can he? Is it too defining of a moment?
It's really hard when nobody on 50 is watching this, but like, it would be hard when your defining moment is a strategic move versus Jenna, who we talked about before, where her defining moment is a character moment. So when you have that thing in people's minds that is strategy, I think it's going to be just naturally harder for those people to move forward in the game than like a Jenna Lewis, a Coach, where their moments are character based.
I think it's also harder for Kyle because what's not shown in this season enough is how close him and Joe were, which is why Joe believes him so much, which is why Eva, when Joe was approaching Eva about this, says, I have a better feeling about Kyle than I do Shaheen. We're not shown in this season how much Kyle has played that social game. that might be to his detriment because people will think of him so strategically, but it might also be to his benefit because people will fall into that trap of how welcoming and how easy he can connect with people. So it's going to be interesting to see how he takes this moment, because this will be, unfortunately for him, it's not even like it's a moment that happened in the entire season and they just saw you win. This is the penultimate episode. This is it. You, they watched this episode 2 weeks before they went out and played the game. So how does Kyle take this moment, which showcases his strategic acumen, which showcases his ability to just connect with people and not have a massive target on his back?
Well, and the other thing is too, right, they're listening to the exit press on Kyle after the season, which is only 2 weeks after this, and they're hearing him say, no, David was my number one. I was really close with Joe. They're hearing Joe say, he shared things with me I couldn't even believe. You have Eva saying how close she was with Kyle. You have Mitch saying how close he was with Kyle. Everybody was close with Kyle, and that goes to your point, John, of like, you know, because he was so close to Joe, that's why Joe's able to believe this so much. I would have a hard time. I mean, yeah, again, I would want to work with Kyle if I'm on the season, but with this episode so fresh in my mind, when I look over and see him standing there, I am so wary of this guy stepping out there onto the island, because no matter what he tells me, no matter how nice he is to me, no matter how close we get, I'm like, who else is he close with? And it's the answer is probably the other six people on our tribe that aren't me and him. So that scares me if I'm going out to play with Kyle because of this. And it's because it's because before this episode, yeah, he had the moment where he played the idol early on. And we'll talk about that with the Camilla episode. But it wasn't like, oh, man, Kyle's playing some dominant over the time. Like, and then all of a sudden it became, is he playing one of the most subtle dominant games in the history of the show? Mm-hmm. This episode kind of confirmed he was.
Yeah. I mean, John and I had compared him to a Sarah Lucina and a Tommy Sheehan. And those are two people that played such dominant roles in their alliances, but nobody really knew what they were doing. So I think Kyle having his game unearthed before the show happens, like Kyle would have greatly benefited had his season been 49. I think we could be seeing another two-time winner had his season aired on season 49.
Yeah.
I think on top of that, we have to realize that with this reward where Shaheen takes Kyle, and, you know, he justifies it, letters from home, wedding the next month and everything, Shaheen also takes the opportunity to be like, hey, remember that other guy who's sitting here with us? We need to do something to weaken him right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just prefaced earlier in this episode that Kyle thought that he had a cold war with Shaheen, that they were going to take a shot at each other at one point, and that he had to make sure he was able to time it correctly so that he wasn't the one to go home. Shaheen, I don't know if he felt that way, because he is here discussing strategic moves to blindside someone with an idol with Kyle, who, again, just plays his threat level down so much. And Phil, you mentioned it in when we were talking about Jenna's episode and how Jenna learned in All Stars to lower her threat level. Kyle has already mastered lowering his threat level, and it's on full display in this episode.
Yeah, it is. But can he master lowering his lower it while he's a winner? I don't know, especially when he's the freshest winner. Like McKenna said, if he was 49, maybe he has a better chance. I'm scared of Kyle based, and like I've been saying, and I've been talking about Kyle, and I'm like, I think Kyle maybe actually could surprise some people on this season and make a little bit of a deep run. But then when you rewatch this episode, you're like, I don't know. I mean, he had a relationship with everyone left in the game. Everyone. That's scary.
Him being able to navigate his heart versus his head. We saw confessionals from him saying like, I don't know what to do in certain situations. If Joe doesn't win, everybody's going to be looking at me to get Joe out. So where do I navigate this? And with having Joe and Camilla in 50 and him previously having heart versus head situations, we've seen it in things like tying Game Changers, having to vote out Caleb. Like, can Kyle do it? I think he could, because he's shown to cut allies where and Shaheen wasn't an ally to him, but Kyle was an ally to Shaheen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But on top of that, we also have a large portion of the season where Kyle is like, I could never cut Joe. So can he do it is the big question, right? Yes, he cuts Camilla because it's literally the last opportunity he has to make a do something decisively that guarantees him a win. But can he cut Joe? Because he didn't. He took Joe with him to the end still. And again, Joe was Kyle's true number one emotionally out there on the island. So can he really separate that? And especially when you just went through an entire season of hanging out with these people again, can you really do it?
Here's what I'll say, though. I think that Kyle proved in this season and in this episode that he can cut who he needs to. If he doesn't need to, he doesn't have to cut you. Mm-hmm. But he knew who he needed to cut the entire time. And Shaheen and Camilla were the biggest threats to him towards the end. And Mitch. People don't want to give Mitch any credit. Mitch was a threat based on what everybody has said in exit press and stuff like that. Mitch was somebody to be worried about going into the end. John, you mentioned head versus heart. And that's actually going to be our next episode when we talk about Colby. Because it just shows that, you know, Kyle played a little bit more with his head, even though it felt like he was playing with his heart. But then we see that Joe doesn't beat him. The episode we're doing with Colby is going to be Honeymoon or Not. And that's our next one. And that's going to be the one where he totally plays with his heart because he says, I can't stand Jerry. I'd rather keep Roger and Elizabeth, even if it's worse for my game. Anything else about Kyle before we wrap this one up?
I think another thing, and again, this goes to speak to the social game. After Kyle comes up with the plan and tells it to Joe, and Joe confronts Shaheen. Shaheen comes back to Kyle.
Yeah.
To confirm, no, I'm in on the Eva plan because, like, this is what's going on. So if Kyle keeps people comfortable, if Kyle is able to just make people believe he's listening to him, he could sneak by despite winning the game, like, being shown winning the game a week before they started filming.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's a great point. And a great way to end it. That's it. Like this video, subscribe to the channel, leave us a comment. Let us know if you think we got the right Kyle episode in here and what you think about Kyle going into this season. That's it. We're going to be back. McKenna, did you have something there?
No, I was agreeing. Yeah, that's it. Okay,
that's it. All right. We got Colby coming up next. So that's going to be coming out next time. And then we'll be getting back into another 48, which will be Joe. So Colby, then Joe. So stay tuned for those. We're talking Honeymoon or Not. If you want to follow along, watch along, play along with us here, it is the Jerry Boot episode from Australia. So we will see you all next time with that one.